How to Minister today is the sermon title. How to Minister. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to pick up right where we left off, verse 29, and we're going to go all the way to 39 today. But before we do that, I just have to tell you, and Corbin already, you know, talked a little bit about it, but to serve along beside many of you yesterday in the pouring rain and just serving our community and sharing the love of Christ and handing out things in need, it was a special moment. Somebody said something to me yesterday. Said something happens when you serve the Lord in uncomfortable situations, when it's raining, you're soaking wet, and you still have joy in your soul. And you build a special bond with those who. And I was like, you know, that is true, because anybody who's ever traveled overseas or been on any kind of missions trip with other believers, and maybe you took a long plane ride, or you see each other in the mornings when they wake up and they haven't had a shower in 2 or 3 days, you know, you lose all of that, you know, those things where you're trying to impress other people and everything. You're just you. And they get to see you serving God just the way God made you to be and who you really are, instead of putting on that front. And it builds a special bond, just like a close family. And I feel like that happened yesterday. And it happened on Friday when some of us gathered here and just walked the property and just spent individual time just praying over the event and praying over the future of this church and thanking God for all He's doing and praying for some of you that are here today. And it was a blessing to serve with you and to serve the Lord in the rain yesterday. And it was awesome. So thank you for all that came out, all that donated, everything, all the prayers. It was just amazing. So anyways, let's get started. Last week, just to give a real quick recap, we saw this Gentile woman, all right? Now remember, the Gentiles are rejected by the Jews. They are the enemies of Israel. At this time in their life, they were seen as like despised people, unclean people. Approaches Jesus. This woman comes up and she's begging Jesus. She not only approaches Him and His disciples, but she was persistent. She kept following and she said, "Jesus, please, please, Son of David, please help my daughter, help my daughter." Her daughter needed this spiritual healing. And she would not quit asking Jesus until He helped her. And we focused on this woman. We know every time Jesus does something, He wants to teach us. He wants to teach the disciples something. He has something He wants to do. But we really focused on three obstacles that this lady had to overcome to really receive the things of God in her life and in her daughter's life. And number one was this. Sometimes God is just quiet. He's silent. Jesus was silent. And she had to be persistent through that. And we have to trust Him even when He's silent and we feel like He's not speaking to us. Number two, we have to overcome the rejection of people. So as long as there's people that are the church, it's not going to be perfect. So if you've been hurt by the church, you've been hurt by a pastor in the past, whatever, don't let that stop you. Don't let that stop you from staying persistent after a life of Jesus and following Jesus. And number three was our worship. This lady was worshiped. She was known for worshiping false idols and all that. Many of us, if you're like me, or we have a habit of worshiping things of the world. It could be our career, it could be our hobbies, it could be whatever. Our money, our possessions. We worship things of this world. But we have to look, where is our worship? Where is our worship really focused? If I really want God to work in my life, who am I worshiping? And that's what this lady had to do. Well, today we're going to see Jesus doing something great again. And that should be no surprise. That's what Jesus does. Right. And I say begin again because we've already seen Him do many miracles. We've been through this journey of Matthew, and I hope none of you are getting sick of it, because I love it and I enjoy it. And God's been working on my heart about stopping and taking a break, and I'm not there yet. And maybe doing a little study, or maybe like a little series that He's been laying on my heart. So we'll see where He leads with that. But for now, we're just going to keep on preaching through the Word. But in this passage today, Jesus is going to do the same miracle, or same like kind of miracle that we've already seen Him do in Matthew chapter 14, 15 through 21, if you were here for that, when He fed the 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Fed 5,000 people. 5,000 people. And the Word tells us that this is just talking about the men and the women. This isn't talking about the children and all that. So there was even more than that with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So today we're going to see Jesus feeding 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and just a few small fish. And I believe Jesus being Jesus, I believe He was doing three main things again in this thing. And three main things that we need to take away from this passage as we read today. So instead of just being like, oh great, we're going to hear the same sermon we heard a couple weeks ago, I believe Jesus is going to do this morning. He wants to prove that day when He did that miracle, He wants to prove that He is the Messiah. Somebody here today needs to be reminded, or he needs to prove to you again that He is who He says He is. And Jesus is who he says he is. He has all authority over heaven and earth. He's the Son of God. He lived a sinful life. And a sinful life. Jesus did not live a sinful life. He lived a sinless life. Imperfect people are allowed to preach too. Amen? But guess what? He lived a sinless life and he died on the cross for you and for me. We have to believe that. We have to be reminded that he wants to prove to you that fact over and over again. I believe that's what he wants to do today. Number two, he was teaching another lesson on how to minister. I don't know about you, but I was talking to Will this week. And sometimes, you know, it's like God has to teach me the same lessons over and over every week. Every week, I'm amazed that people come. I don't know why. I'm like, God, nobody's going to come today. I'm doing all this. It's a waste of time. You know, the devil's messing with me or whatever it is. Or I'm not going to be able to have a sermon this week. I'm not going to have time to prepare my message. Or when is this going to happen? I've got a funeral to do. I got this to do. I got that to do. And all of a sudden, every week, somehow God works it all out. He has to teach me another lesson. He has to teach us another lesson today on how to be a minister. And number three, I believe he wants to teach someone today, or maybe just teach his disciples, teach us today, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the abundant life that Christ wants to give is for anyone and for everyone. There is nobody too far gone for Christ to reach them and want to minister to them. So this is just one of the many things that I love about my Savior. Jesus knows that we're just like his disciples. They were human. Even though they gave up everything to follow Jesus, he knew that they needed to be reminded over and over that he was the Messiah. He was the one that the prophets had talked about and the one that was coming. He knew they needed that reminder. And we need these lessons on how to be Christ followers over and over and over, if you're like me anyways. And we need to be reminded that the gospel's for everybody. We can't decide who's good enough for it or who's not worthy enough for it. It's for everyone. So let's read Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to go 29 to 39. Let's read that. Starting at 29, it says this. Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee, climbed a hill, and sat down. A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. Can we just imagine people being laid out before Jesus? And he healing them of all their impurities and all their problems. 31 goes on to say this, the crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking and the blind could see again. And they praised the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people. They've been here with me for 3 days. And they've had nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they may faint along the way. The disciples replied, well, where would we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd? It sounds just like the last time that God asked them to do something, that Jesus told them to do something. They had to be reminded over and over again. This encourages me today. I don't know about you. Jesus asked, how much bread do you have? They replied, 7 loaves and a few small fish. So Jesus told all the people to sit on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish and he thanked God for them. And he broke them into pieces. He gave them to the disciples who distributed the food to the crowd. They all ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. There were 4,000 men who were fed that day in addition to all the women and children. Then Jesus sent the people home, and he got on the boat, and he crossed over to the region of Magadan. Let's pray. Father, we just love you this morning. We thank you for the reading of your word. We pray a blessing over this time. Lord, that I can prepare a message all I want. I can mispronounce names, and I can say things wrong, but your spirit is never wrong. Your word is never wrong. And God, I just pray that you would work today through the reading of your word, through the preaching of your word, that your Holy Spirit would be invited into our hearts today, that we would receive the words that you want to tell us today. That's why you gave us the Bible. That's why you give us the Holy Spirit when we give our life to you, because you want to speak life into our life. You want us to come to life. You want us to leave behind the old and put on the new. God, let that be a reality today for us at Fork Union Baptist Church. Let that be a reality today, that we can say we're going to stand on the Word of God, and we're going to believe, and we're going to allow the Spirit to work in our lives today here at Fork Union Baptist. God, I thank you for another opportunity to preach your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. An event that Jesus fed 5,000, if you go back to Matthew 14, we're not going to go back and read or anything like that. But if you go back to that event that we've already talked about a while back, we talked about how Jesus was teaching three main things in that lesson on how to be an essential Christ follower. Number one was this: we have to have compassion for other people. Number two, we must accept, all of us have to accept our duty once we become a Christian to minister to other people. We each have, it's nobody that's not good enough. There's nobody who's too good. We all have the ability. We all have the Holy Spirit. We all have the same Spirit that Christ, that raised Christ from the dead, dwelling in us. And it's not just so we can attend church service. It's not so we can just bear the name of Christian, but because he wants us to go out and accept the responsibility of being a disciple and a minister of the gospel. Number three, we must trust Christ with what he's given us. So this was what we talked about last time that we talked about it, but on this similar kind of event or this miracle. But the lesson today that we're going to learn today is along the same lines, but he was stretching the disciples in a new way. Because where they were ministering this day, where they are in this event, if you look, they've traveled away from where the Jews normally lived, right? They were traveling away from the people that were like them and like the disciples. And they were in this Gentile area. If you remember, they're stretching the disciples. So how many know sometimes it's easy to minister to people who are like-minded and like us, right? It's easy to go around and maybe preach at another church or to speak to another Christian about the gospel or whatever. But it's not real easy when you go into the prison system, right, Malcolm? And you preach to people, maybe unbelievers. It's not real easy when you go to another country where maybe they don't like you, or maybe you go to another neighborhood where people don't look like us, or whatever it is. Or maybe a coworker who doesn't think like you, and God calls you to love them and minister to them. It's not always easy to do that. But what about when God calls us to these people? What are we going to do? See, you see, Jesus knew that he was headed to the cross, ultimately. He knew he was not going to be there forever. He knew that he was on this journey right now. He was leading him to the cross. And he wanted to teach his disciples that not only are they to go out and go to everywhere and reach everybody, but the gospel was for everybody. It was not just for the Jews. Now, we talked about it last week. Jesus' primary focus was the house of Israel, but he was trying to teach his followers, I'm not going to be here for long. And I want this to go everywhere. I want everyone to receive this. So I think today we're going to look at five steps, what it takes to be an effective minister of the gospel. Remember, we all have the duty. We already talked about that a couple weeks ago. So you can't say, oh, okay, well, this is a message for somebody who's a teacher. This is a message for somebody who's a pastor or whatever. No, this is for each of us. How are we going to be an effective Christian or effective minister is this. Step number one, we have to go where people are, right? We have to go to where people are. Look at verse 29. Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. It didn't say he went back to his home, to Nazareth. He didn't go back to Capernaum. He went... Where'd he go? He went back to the Sea of Galilee, climbed up on a hill, and he sat down. I was reading this week, and I was looking at the map again of this whole region where this took place. And I noticed this, that when Jesus left Tyre and Sidon where he was last week, where we saw him last week, where this woman came to him, he actually, instead of returning and going back south or going back the way that where he came from, he was actually going further and further and further into Gentile nations. Jesus traveled all the way through all these Greek cities that were all these like unclean people that were considered unclean, all these Gentile people. He was going further into where these Gentiles lived. And this is important for us to know today, because so often we forget that we're called to go out into the world. This is what I have grown to love about the outdoor services. This is what I've grown to love. At first, I was against it. I said, man, it's going to be hot. I'm going to be sweating. My hanky's going to be wet, and the wind's going to be blowing my sermon and my Bible and open. You know what? And the noise is going to be too loud. Is it going to pick up this or that or whatever? But this is what I have learned personally to love about this, having church outside. It tells the world that's driving by, the world that may be sitting on their porch, or maybe some of the cadets over there or whatever, the people out in the community, that we're not confined to a church building, right? There's nothing wrong with worshiping in a church building, but we're not confined to that. We're unashamed. We can come out here and preach the gospel. We'll sing praise music. We'll sing old hymns. And we'll sing it right out here where everybody can see us. I believe that's what it's telling. There's no dress code requirement. There's no rituals or ceremonies. We just gather out here under the trees. We sing to the Lord. And we preach the gospel. Amen? There's no better advertisement than that. We could have the best church sign out there. We could have whatever we want. But there's no better advertisement for God's church for them to see the church doing what the church is supposed to do. But it goes even beyond that. We must each be willing to go out and meet people where they are every day. So that's step one. Jesus went up on the hillside right where these people were, right where everybody else would have rejected, and he sat down with them. And that brings us right into step two. Step two is this: we must make ourselves available. If we don't make ourselves available to people, how can we be an effective minister? This is what Jesus did. Look at verse 30 and 31. It says, "As the vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking, and crippled were made well, and the lame were walking, and the blind could see again, and they praised the God of Israel." See, this is one of the first, very first steps that we have to learn. If you want to be a minister, if you really want to be effective for the gospel message of Jesus Christ, we have to learn to minister to others like Jesus ministered to others. We have to make ourselves available. We will come up with all kinds of excuses, right? Well, I've got soccer practice, and I've got to take the kids here, and I've got to do this. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too busy. I'm too tired after work. Whatever it is, we'll make all these excuses of why we don't meet people where they are. Why we don't make ourselves available to people that are in need. In verse 29, it says, Jesus climbed up on a mountainside and sat down with the people. Jesus was among the people, and he stopped. How many know sometimes God's just calling us to stop? Stop all the busyness. Just stop. And make yourself available. Just stop. I know he has to tell me that all the time. Anthony, would you just stop for a minute? Quit running around. Quit thinking about that. My brain is like a pinball machine. Y'all don't even know what goes on in my mind sometimes. Jesus was approachable and he met their needs. Sometimes we just need to stop. And we need to sit down and make ourselves available to other people. Maybe even other believers here in the church. And we look, and when you do that, look what the result was. Look back in those verses. Look what the result. People praise God. They didn't say, "Oh man, Pastor Anthony, he is so great because he preached a good sermon," all that. They praised God for what God was doing. The world desperately needs to know that Christians care about them today. Enough to stop everything else and to say, "I'm here for you, brother. I'm here for you, sister." I had a message this morning that I had the opportunity to speak to the teenagers in Sunday school, and that's what I talked about. When Moses was up on the mountain and he was holding up the staff, he had friends that came along beside him and said, I'm going to make myself available to you, and I'm going to help you hold your arm up so you can be victorious." The world desperately needs you. It needs me to make ourselves available, to make time for others to meet their needs. Not so we can be recognized, not so we can look like a great Christian, but so they will know Jesus Christ lives in us. They will become to know Christ, and ultimately they will come to praise God for what he's doing. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says this, "And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive." So do you make yourself available to other people? Think about your life. I'm convicted of this all the time. Do I really make myself available to others? Do you give or do you just receive? Are you somebody that just says, "Oh, I need the church to do this for me. I need the church to..." Or are you somebody who says, "What can I do for the church?" Now, that's not the building. That's everybody here today. What can I do? Where can I serve? Where can I serve in the church? Or do you give or do you actually just sit back and receive? We have to make ourselves available. If we want to be a minister, we have to make ourselves available. Number three, we see this word compassion again. Jesus felt sorry for these people. He had compassion. Look at verse 32. We're going to read it again. It says this, "Then Jesus called his disciples and told them, 'I feel sorry for these people.'" I believe some translations say he had compassion for them. "They have been here with me for 3 days and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they'll grow faint along the way." Now, we've talked about this before, but real compassion, if you're going to have compassion for people, feeling sorry for them isn't enough. All right, so compassion isn't saying, I feel sorry for my brother or my sister because they don't have enough to eat. Compassion is seeing the need and doing something about it. You see, just like the Gentile woman from last week, these people that Jesus, he sat down with them and he considered, everybody else considered them to be outcasts and unclean, unworthy of the gospel, unworthy of God's love. Even enemies of Israel. And the disciples had no compassion for them. The disciples were, they weren't concerned about them because they weren't like them. They were their enemies. They were the unclean people. They weren't as good as them, or they weren't the chosen ones of God. They didn't even want to meet their needs. They would have been totally fine just sending them away. Sending them away and just saying, we're done. Our work is done. Jesus was teaching his disciples another important lesson about ministering to other people. Because if you want to be a real Christ follower today, if we want to really be a not just a Christian, not just a church member, but if we really want to follow Christ, we must open our eyes and we must look around at the needs that are right here in our community. We have to be concerned about those who are around us. We have to be concerned and determined to help those, even those, the ones that we'd really, our flesh doesn't want to help. If we do this, you know what happens most of the time? Anytime that I go out and I have the opportunity that I can minister to somebody, I'm not saying I do it all the time, but the times that I've done it where you reached somebody that the rest of the world would say is unreachable, and you have the opportunity to lead them to Christ or to tell them something from God's Word, most of the time you find that those people, when you spend time ministering to them, they're usually more hungry for God's Word than most people that fill church services every Sunday. You know why? It's because us in the church service, I'm including myself, we get caught up in the routine of just, that's something we do. We come to church, we hear the word of God, and we go home. And we eat some fried chicken or whatever we do. Right? We go watch the ball game. We just check that off the list. We went to church, we good, we heard an inspiring message, we're all good. But that's not the purpose. That's not the purpose. If you really go to somebody who's hungry for the word, it will consume them all week. These people stayed with Jesus all week. Psalm 73:25 says this, whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. What do you desire more than anything else? Is it God? Is it to be with Jesus, to spend time with him, to spend time in his word? Or is it whatever else you could fill in the blank with? Look at verse 32 again. These Gentile people had been with Jesus for 3 days. They were out of food. They didn't even have anything to eat. You know, if I sat here today and I started preaching, and I preached for over 30 minutes, and it went into 45 minutes, and it went into an hour, it went into an hour and a half, you know how much trouble I would be in? We're hungry. We don't want to sit and listen to that, to you to talk that long, right? If any preacher in any church in America that's to preach for more than 30 minutes, we get upset. These people clung to Jesus and his every word for 3 days. Imagine this. 3 days, they said, we're going to sit here and we're going to just spend time with Jesus. They sat with Jesus. They were healed by Jesus. They saw him working miracles in their life. And Jesus had compassion for them. If we want to minister for Jesus, we have to do the same. We have to stop. Quit thinking about our lunch plans. Quit thinking about the ball game. Quit thinking about the lake that we want to go fishing on. Quit thinking about work Monday morning. Quit thinking about this. Quit thinking about that and just say, who am I in heaven? Who do I have in heaven other than you, God? There's nothing I desire more than to be with you. There should be nothing that we desire more than to come and to sing praises to God and to get into his word and to say, God, speak to me today. Not just in a church service, but all throughout the week. We have to have compassion for people. That's what Jesus was teaching. Step number 4. We have to be willing to use what we have to meet the needs of others. If we're really going to be a minister of the gospel, we have to get up off of the fact that this is my stuff. And we say, no, this is God's stuff. And we give what we have to help others, right? Matthew 15, 33 through 36. Let's look at these few verses if you'll follow back with me. We'll read them again. The disciples replied, where would we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd? Jesus asked, how much bread do you have? See, he says, what do you have? What did I give you? What have I supplied for you, disciples? What do you have there in front of you? They replied, we will 7 loaves and a few small fish. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves of fish, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. He gave them to disciples who distributed the food to the crowd. So here's the lesson that we need to get from these couple verses. Instead of us using excuses of why we can't meet the needs of others, we simply use what we have to do what we can. All right, so what has God given you, and what can you do with it? Don't question God and say, well, God, I only have $20 in my wallet. How am I going to help this person? Instead, say, God, what can I do with the $20 I have in my pocket to help this person? Show me what to do. The disciples had all kinds of reasons why they couldn't help these people. Well, God, we're way out here in the wilderness. What are we going to do, Jesus? We're out here way out in the wilderness. Where are we going to get food? There's no grocery store. There's no marketplace. Or maybe our resources are too little. We only have a couple loaves of bread and a couple little tiny fish. Or maybe the need's too great. God, it's just too many people. There's no way we can feed all these people. There's no way we can supply backpacks for all the people that need stuff, all the school supplies that people need in this community. Plus, if you really think about it, if you're like me, they were probably thinking, well, that's my food. We only got 7 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. What are we going to eat? We're going to faint and we're going to grow weary. That's my $20 in my wallet. God, why would you expect me to give that to somebody else? I need that to feed my family. We make all these excuses why we don't minister to other people and why we receive, but we're not willing to give. Well, what can we do? We're just a small church here in Fork Union, right? We're just a small little Baptist church in Fork Union. That's not in our church budget, Pastor. Oh, that's not in our church. That's not in our church budget, Mr. So and So, Mrs. So and So. We have a vision to do an outreach or whatever. How you know that wasn't planned in our annual business meeting? So we better not do that, right? That's what we do. We don't have enough resources here at this church to really meet all the needs in our community. Well, the need is just too great. But I need this money. I need this food. We need this to repair our facilities. Or what if we don't have enough money to pay the light bill at the church or whatever? I would challenge you with this. Ask the over 250 some people that received goods from this church yesterday if God can use a small church to meet their needs. Amen? Ask them if God has enough resources to meet their needs. Ask those who came out yesterday if their need was too great for God to meet their need through this body of believers. Ask some of the many people that we got to pray with yesterday if God can use a small church to bless them and encourage them and show them the love of Christ. This is how God works. This is how God works in our life individually. As a church, He takes the most impossible thing and makes it possible. He makes the most unclean person and He makes them a tool for His kingdom, to grow His kingdom. If we simply are willing to use what we have to meet the needs that are right in front of us. If we give God all the praise, we don't take credit for it, we give God all the praise, and we take what He gives us to meet the needs of others. We were packing up the bags on Friday night, and we had like assembly lines going. From all age groups, I mean, there was young kids, there was elderly people, there was senior citizens, there was middle of the road, there was everybody in between, and everybody just showed up. People from the community showed up with more supplies while we were packing, and the more that we packed, I'm not kidding you. It just like I even made the comment, I think to Becky, I said, or maybe it was Charlotte. I said, it seems like the more that we pack, it's like the pile doesn't diminish any. I mean, it's like, where does all this stuff come from? And it was one of those moments that just seems it's just like it's crazy what God does when we simply follow what He's doing. I believe we got to witness a little bit of that, a little bit with the disciples. They just had this little bit of bread and stuff. And look what He did with it. We must simply be willing to use what God has given us to meet the needs of others. It just seemed like it never ran out. If we just follow God and we say, yeah, I might not have much, but what I have, God, I'm going to trust You with it. What can I do with what I have? The last step, step number 5, is this. When we do all these things, we get to witness the Lord's power and provision in our life. Just like the disciples, they got to witness a miracle. They got to witness God doing great things, and they were a part of it. They didn't sit back on the sideline and say, wow, look what all God is doing. They were the one distributing the food as it kept multiplying. They were the ones, the people in the crowd who were bringing the people to Jesus to be healed. They were the ones that God used to bring the people to Him and put Him in front of them so He could be healed. And that's what He wants to do with us. Look at verse 37 through 39. It says, they ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. There were 4,000 men who were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Then Jesus sent the people home, and he got into a boat, and he crossed over to the region of Magadan. You see, the disciples got to see again and again and again and again that they were simply to bring the needy to Christ. That's their goal. To bring the needy to Christ. And when they did this, they get to witness the Lord's power and the Lord's provision working in their life. I don't know about you, but when this passage talks about the baskets, I always just picture like just a small basket, maybe like something that would be like on a table, or maybe something that would be like on even maybe a little bit larger one that you would take on a picnic. That's kind of what I picture. Or maybe like some churches use as an offering bowl, just a small little basket. But I was reading this week, and I found it interesting that in the Gentile regions where they were, these kind of baskets, and in fact, the word tells us they were large baskets, but they were so big that the Gentile people would use these baskets that were big enough for a person to hide in. Like a person could actually get in it and close it up, and you could hide in one of these baskets. So that's the kind of basket you're talking about. They would carry their supplies and their food as they traveled. And yet they had 7 of these huge baskets full of leftovers. Again, this is how God works, church. When we simply minister in the name of Jesus, we trust him with what he had. When we just simply go out and we do what the word tells us to do, we do what Jesus has laid on our heart. When we meet the people where they are, like Jesus did, when we make ourselves available to people, we just stop all the busyness. And we have compassion on them. We don't just feel sorry for them, but we have compassion. And we give what we have to meet the needs of others. We get to witness the Lord working through our life. We get to witness miracles. And we get to be a part of it. His provision in our life. And this is the only reward that we should ever seek as a Christ follower. Do you realize how privileged yesterday we were to stand in the rain and get to witness what God was doing through us and through the church and through all of you who donated? What a blessing. Paul wrote about that. All the things that he went through. He said, it's a privilege for me to suffer for Christ. It's a privilege for me to be in prison for Christ. You know why? Because without that, he wouldn't see all the provisions. He wouldn't have seen all the Lord's power working in his life if he didn't get to go through all the stuff that he went through. The more needy people we bring to Jesus, the more power and provision that we'll get to witness in his life. The more that we're actively doing the will of God, the more that we step out in our comfort zone and we say, I'm going to do this. Even though it doesn't make sense, even though I only have $20, I'm going to give that $20 to that person in need. We get to see God's provision. So the more that we do that, the more we witness his power working in our life. And the more that we see that he not only does that, but he takes care of our needs as well. And the more that we see the Lord's power and the more that we see his provision in our life, the more that our faith grows. And so then we want to do more and more and more because we're like, it's addictive. There's nothing like seeing the Lord work through you and feeling the Lord working through you and watching him provide your needs. Your faith will begin to grow. And the more your faith grows, the more effective you'll be as a minister for the gospel. But it also works on the opposite end of that. The less that you do all these things, the more that your faith will diminish. And the more that you'll put your hope and your faith in the world. And that always leads to disappointment. So as we close, I want to read to you a letter that each person received with their backpack. Now, there's probably grammar mistakes in here and everything. This is what the Lord laid on my heart, and I don't want any praise for this letter. I just want you to know what as the pastor representing the church, what the community got to hear, and they got home and they got a letter, and this is what it says from the church. It says this: thank you for coming. Well, it says, dear community member, thank you for coming to our God's Got Your Backpack event. We hope this bag of supplies helps you and your family as you enter into the new school year. All these supplies were donated by the people from all ages in our church family and in the community. The children that attended Vacation Bible School in July brought in supplies each night. The senior citizens donated so many supplies. And everyone in between donated and helped make this possible. So why do I tell you this? This is in the letter. Well, it's not to boast or to expect praise. I tell you this because I want you to know that the church is not an organization or a building. It's the people that makes the church. The church, and I put in parentheses, the people, pull together and all work together to bless you because we love you and we care about you. We simply love you and we care about you. We're not too busy doing church business. We love you and we care about you. So please accept this small gift and give God all the praise for what he's doing in our community. And then I also invited him to church, of course. I wouldn't be a good pastor if I didn't do that, right? But at the very bottom, I put this. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. You see, the more that we meet the needs of others, the more that we bring others to Christ, the more that we get the reward of seeing God working through and in our life. As a pastor, to see all the people of all ages packing bags on Friday night, and the kids bringing in, and the senior citizens bringing all the supplies they donated, to see the people of all ages ministering and praying with people in the rain yesterday. It wasn't just the pastors praying. There were so many people that just stopped and just said, "Can I pray with you?" yesterday. And I think out of all the people, we had maybe two people that said, "No, I'm good." And even then, we most of them said, "We're going to pray for you real quick." But people, the burdens are there. The needs are there. If you would have heard all the need that is in our community that came through that line, you would think people would say, they'd get weirded out and they'd say, "No, I don't need prayer. I'm good. I just want my backpacks. I'm out of here." They didn't do that. Many of them with tear-filled eyes, they said, "Oh, would you please pray with me about this? I'm struggling with this. I got financial needs. I've got this. I'm struggling with that. I'm health problems. I've got cancer. My kids don't have this," or whatever. And they, on and on and on, you hear the burdens that are right here in our community. But to see all the people ministering and praying with the people, even in the rain, it was fuel that keeps this pastor going. Because the church was being the church and not an organization or a building. When God calls us, we're supposed to say simply this: "Here I am." That's simple. "Anthony," God says, "I want you to do this. Here I am, God." It's that simple. "Anthony, I want you to receive my grace and my mercy today. I want you to receive forgiveness. I want you to have a new life. Why don't you come today and receive it?" You know what he wants me to say? "Here I am, God. Here I am." And when we see others in need, he wants us to say this: "Send me." It's that simple. "God, what can I do?" "Send me." "Here I am, God. Send me." So this morning I ask you, as we go into the time of invitation, what do you need? And who are you in this passage today? Who are you in this passage today? Do you need proof that Jesus is Messiah? Is the Messiah, that Jesus really does love you? Do you need proof? Maybe for the first time, or maybe again and again and again, you need to run to the Father. Number two, do you need a lesson on how to be a good Christ follower and to be a minister? And you're convicted, you're saying, "Man, I really do. Like, I need to do more. Not just so I can please God or because I can be a good Christian, but what all the things that God has blessed me with, what am I doing with them? And what does God really want from my life? What's my purpose?" And number three, or I ask you this, or do you need to be brought to Christ this morning? Do you personally need to come and lay before Christ and let him heal you? Spiritually, physically, whatever it is. Emotionally. If God is calling you this morning, I'll be up here. I'll be glad to pray with you. You can come and pray. You can pray where you are. But if you want to share what God is doing in your life, maybe during that second song, you ran to Jesus for the first time. I would encourage you. God wants you to come and be excited about that. And share the testimony, because it's through the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony is how we overcome. Amen? And God wants to use you today to share what he's doing in your life. If God is calling you this morning, whatever it is, or if there's something that I can be praying with you today, I would pray as we sing. It won't be another church service. We'll just come and we'll run to the Father. Come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.